It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo. Welcome to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Thirsty Thursday. It is a busy program. You know, we got at noon, Evie Van Pelt. She's going to join us today. We are going to wrap all things Ole Miss. We're also going to talk about a little bit of what's up with Swag Kelly. We got so many things to get in when it talks to SEC and Rebel Talk and heck, Canadian Football League and what's going on with Chad Kelly. We're going to have a lot of fun at noon. She is from the Rebel Walk, your number one source for all things Ole Miss sports information. We'll also talk about the baseball game that happened last night. Ole Miss played 15 innings of baseball, and they've had some injuries that have cropped up recently. A lot of bad juju going around with the Ole Miss Rebels right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we got to talk, of course, you know, football and all the fun things that we have with the Rebels at 12 o'clock. I'm fired up to talk with Isaac Simpson at 11:30 for so many reasons. I'm excited to ask him about Jokic. Now, Jokic, you know, he was named the NBA's MVP last night. He is a dude. He is a bona fide PIMP when it comes to hoops. It's his third MVP in 4 years. He got a title last year. And I know that right now the forefathers have come down all over their face. And the Nuggets look like they're in some serious trouble. They look really, really, really dangerous. We don't have any Nuggets action tonight, by the way. They don't play till tomorrow. They don't play till 8:30 tomorrow against the Timberwolves. Of course, that game's in Minnesota. The early line is already Minnesota -4.5. In a game that feels like a must-win game for him. But my question about Jokic is he an all-time great? And I mean an all-time great. Because the list of people that got three NBA MVPs, it ain't that big. I mean, it's a small, small list. And he is so damn impressive. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has 6. Michael Jordan has 5. LeBron James, 4. Bill Russell's 4. Larry Bird has 3. Wilt Chamberlain has 3. Magic Johnson has 3. Moses Malone has 3. And now Jokic has 3. That's some air. And yes, as a point center, he's one of the best we've ever seen. I mean, Moses Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain weren't bringing the ball up in the actual offense, just necessarily running through them in the way of in the terms of assist and the way he passes and the way he makes his teammates around him better. He's very dominant. He's a very skilled basketball player. But is he Magic Johnson, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is he up there in that rarefied air with those guys? Time will tell. And as much as I love the Joker, as much as I love him and think he's awesome, I don't know if I can put him in the air that he's in. I mean, the dudes with three MVPs, and Jokic is, I mean, he's up there. He's close. And I guess it's because he's currently playing, but it is still hard to think of him like a Wilt Chamberlain, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a Magic Johnson, a Michael Jordan, a Bill Russell. It's just hard to put that in to perspective, I guess. And I think it's also hard right now when we're also watching Minnesota just work them. Like, they pulled out the forefathers and slap right across the face. In the first two games, held the dead gum Nuggets to 80 points. 80 points, 35 points in the first half. That defense is suffocating in Minnesota. And they do have a dude in Ant-Man. And now that you have an Ant-Man and Big Cat, Big Dumb Cat can be the Robin, it's much better. And then you have so many role players that go out there and just play defense. But I'm just kind of curious what you think. Hit me up at the Sissy's Law Cabin text and listener line, 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. I'm always one to talk about a guy who has the vertical about it. His vert probably realistically is about the same vertical as I have. Now he's 7 feet tall. And I'm 5'11". Probably no more like 5'10". Now, especially as old as I've gotten, I feel like my back's shrinking. So I'm just like a little dude. But I mean, I'm not like, I just know that he doesn't have some vertical. When we think of the NBA, you always think of these high flyers. Man ain't flying nowhere. He ain't flying anywhere, but he's a hell of a basketball player. His team is in serious trouble, but they don't play today. We have the Cavs and the Celtics at 6 o'clock in a series that, I mean, this thing's going to be a sweep if the Celtics are interested. They're a 13.5-point favorite. I think you'd have to have huge cojones to even think about taking the Cavs. I mean, all you have to do is stop Spidey. They can't do jack. Tonight, though, we got the Mavs and the Thunder, and man, did the Thunder look good in Game 1. Thunder are 5-0. Thunder have now won 9 straight games going back to the regular season. Thunder making winning plays. Right now, I think Minnesota is more impressive in the way that they are beating the defending champs. But everything that Oklahoma City is doing is just right up there. I mean, people are falling in love with Williams, Dort. Everybody knows Chet and Shea from that terrible commercial, but now they're loving them for their basketball instead of hating them for the worst commercial in the history of sports. Like, honestly, that's got to be the worst commercial, right?
What a pro wants. What a pro.
Everybody knows it.
Whatever makes me happy sets me free.
Man, and Chet, you don't put Chet in skin tight leather pants ever.
It's his style.
Dude, it's terrible. It looks so bad. But the point is, the Thunder on the court are awesome, and everybody talks about their age, their youth, their inexperience. Bro, they come at you at a different level. They look like they're playing at a different speed. Kind of like Minnesota when they play Denver, looks like they are just that much more into the game, more athletic. They're getting up and down the court. You know, you saw in Game 2 the frustrations just pouring out of the Nuggets, screaming at the refs, begging for help. Because they basically, if that was a boxing match, they're looking at their sideline guy going, throw in the freaking towel. But the Thunder, man, the way they hit the Mavericks looking the other night, Luka was lost. And by the way, Luka cannot hit a three to save his life right now. What did I say before that game? What have I said coming in this series? Remember how bad he shot it last series, the three? His knee's bothering him. He's got no lift. That step back is different when my man can't step back. It's not a step back. It's like a fall back and let me throw it up. And it's going doink. I like the OKC Thunder tonight. I really do. We're going to talk about that bad boy. And then we got to talk about what we saw last night. And I will tell you one thing. I think Rick Carlisle is a baby. Oh, man. Rick, how about tell your team to execute in the half court? How about tell your team to take advantage of the situation the Knicks were in? My man Josh Hart is averaging over 48 minutes a game. Josh Hart has already ran a marathon last night. He's playing at a different level. Dante DiVincenzo is playing with his hair on fire. Jalen Brunson, do we have to say anything?
No.
The dude goes out and misses with 3 minutes left in the first quarter, doesn't come back until the third quarter. His foot is bothering him. He doesn't have it, but damn it, he does. Did you know when he was on the court, The Knicks were plus 26. The Pacers were up by, was it 10 at halftime?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was 10 at halftime. Yeah, they were up by 10 at halftime. And then the Knicks come back, and Jalen Brunson comes out and plays. And then the Pacers go on to get outscored 36-18. Do you know how many shots that the biggest wuss, fraud, superstar in all the NBA I've ever heard, or even, like, the fact that they once said, oh, this guy's better than Ja, I still can't stop laughing at you morons. Halliburton is what you call a regular season A player. He's a D-minus in the postseason. That dude doesn't have a takeover bone in his body. Oh, John, but he scored 34 points. What did he do in the third quarter while they were getting just hammered? He didn't. He took one shot in the third quarter. You had a 10-point lead, and you get outscored by 18 points in the third quarter, and you take one shot? Doesn't seem like that is not, in my opinion, a star. You can't allow that to happen. That was ridiculous. And Nembhard, why is he in the game? Can't stay in front of Brunson. TJ McConnell can. In fact, TJ, hey, Rick, let me complain about something that you've done. Why don't you have TJ McConnell in there in crunch time, in clutch time, when it's important, and have him on Brunson? Because he is defending him 90 feet. He's all up in his business. You saw how frustrated he was, especially in the first part of the fourth quarter. You came back all the way, and then you take out McConnell. I just, Rick Carlisle, I know you're like whining about, oh my gosh, their aggression is rewarded, our aggression is penalized. Shut up, Rick. Small market teams should be treated fair. Shut up, Rick. And Spicy P, you're terrible. That's embarrassing. You faltered down the fourth quarter and couldn't hit a shot to save your life. And I don't know if you know this, but did you notice when OG Anunoby was on him, he couldn't do nothing? And that's the other thing, Rick. When OG Anunoby goes out of the game and he's not coming back, why is it that Spicy P couldn't take advantage of it? Then why'd your offense not adjust? And how come it is y'all can never run anything in the half court? And you don't care about possessions. You play no defense. This Pacers team is so pathetic that having to watch them in the playoffs makes me sick. Again, it's the JV. And you know the Knicks are going to get trounced by the Celtics. So, yes, Jalen Brunson, you're a bad man. But, bro, you can't go to a gunfight with a knife. And that's all they have is a knife, because Jalen Brunson and Vincenzo and Hart are great. And I got to give Isaiah Hartenstein a bunch of credit, because he's just made himself a lot of money. Like, this dude, after this season, is probably going to go out there and demand anywhere between $16 and $18 million next year, a season. I didn't even know he was a brother till the other day.
Yeah, we had to tell you about him.
I mean, I was like, this Irish kid's pretty good. But they don't have anything. They won't have a chance against the Celtics. They wouldn't have a chance. Neither one of these teams would have any chance. I hate how the East is just so pathetic. One other thing just kind of punched the East in the face. When they look at like a team like the 76ers, who trusted the process for a decade and didn't get jack, when they look over at Oklahoma City, do they just like, they're like, damn. Like, just a few years ago, they were nothing. They've rebuilt quickly. They fleeced the Clippers. I don't know. The NBA is, it's been a lot of fun. I've been having a good time with it. I like the playoffs. I do enjoy them. I'm just kind of also blown away with, again, I keep looking at the numbers. Have you seen how bad, like, I mean, we're talking about 3 million people watching these games, these playoff games. That's it. I didn't even realize, because I've been looking at these damn numbers. I've started following this dude who's all into this stuff, so it's one of the things that's on my timeline all the time. Did you know the Christmas Day games, like, the NBA got, like, one... God, I can't remember exactly. So let's just say $2 million. That might be giving them more. 2 million viewers. While the NFL was had 25 million people watching regular season games.
Yeah.
That just leads me into my next conversation. Please don't even give... Like, all these... You heard. You know who started this? Doc's kid. Austin Rivers went on, was it NBA Today? I believe, wasn't it?
Probably.
One of those shows. And says that there's like 30, 40 NBA players that could go and play in the NFL.
Hmm.
And there's not. There's not. There's nobody in the NFL that can go play. Man, are you smoking crack, son? I know that they're big, they're athletic, and they're skilled. But you think that NBA players want to go out there and play in a controlled chaos and take physical abuse the way they do in the National Football League? No. And then you're like, oh, but nobody in the NFL. Do you remember that guy Charlie Ward for Florida State? Heisman Trophy winning quarterback,
mm-hmm.
who decided he wanted to play basketball as well?
Mm-hmm.
He was a pretty damn good guard for the Knicks, by the way. Remember Julius Peppers at North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Great defensive end. Now you can be like Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates was an average basketball player who was a good thing that he went and played football, and he was just a very damn good tight end. And yes, it worked out. But Draymond Green, did you see it when he tried to play football at Michigan State? Have you seen his highlight videos?
I have not.
It's hilarious.
Braun.
Braun ain't going, dude. He'll get cut in half.
Braun. Everyone says Braun was better at, or was just as good at football than he was at basketball.
Yeah, when he was playing 16-year-old kids.
Well, hey, I mean, everyone's got to play 16-year-old kids at some point.
And he didn't play defense. He was a wide receiver.
That's right.
I
mean, what does that mean?
No. What I mean is like Braun don't want to get cut in half.
You're probably right. But I can see him being a good tight end out there. You know, flaring out. Give me the ball.
I couldn't see him blocking anybody. He can't.
You
don't play the old defense, man.
We've just had a lot of tight ends that don't know how to block.
That was a nice, fun shot.
Thank you.
Bloodworth liked to block.
Sure.
That's my good buddy.
Yeah. I've had great blocking tight ends, but I'm saying in recent history, maybe like 4, 5, 6 years ago. Sam Kraft, speaking of Tigers, Sam Kraft was a football player that played basketball for the Tigers.
Yeah, quit messing with me, man. Basketball people, please. Stop it. Plus, you think those basketball players are going to go out there and work that hard for non-guaranteed contracts? Hell no.
That would be a fun exercise, though. Like, what could basketball you player could play football and what football player could play basketball?
There's a lot of big dudes in the NBA. There's a lot of big dudes in the NFL. And, man, like, just go watch. Like, the NBA players don't want to work out. Like, have you seen Christian McCaffrey's just workouts?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the way these dudes, like, I don't think the NBA players understand. They, like, you know, LeBron James works on his body and spends $1 million because he likes to sit in a cryogenic chamber and likes to go shoot hoops. And, I mean, dude, yes, he was born with the greatest genetics in the world. But LeBron James ain't going through an NFL training camp. LeBron be like, no. But anyway, that was a big topic. I saw that, and that's something I'm going to even, like, I might ask Isaac, because I know he's like, the NBA players would, there's so many NBA players that could go play in the NFL right now. No, not even a chance. Now, I hope you didn't listen to me yesterday. Sorry.
Oh, Jalen Duren could be a tight end. Oh, man. Imagine Jalen Duren out there blocking some guys, catching passes. Oh, man.
I don't know. Jalen Duren.
A big guy.
He might be a big guy, but again, it's kind of like, you know, who's that big wrestler guy? Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
What I'm saying is there's just been big dudes who've tried to go play in the NFL, and what happens is embarrassingly bad.
Nobody gives them time. John.
You got to play to be an NFL player. This is something you've been playing football for a long time. Like, people ain't walking around. Like, remember those great rugby players that tried to try out for the NFL? Like, this is something that you have got. I mean, there are steps, and it is a slow, gradual process to become as skilled as you are at what you do in the National Football League. Left tackles, blocking defensive ends that can bend and are running 4.3, 4.4 40s, weighing 265 pounds.
Isaiah Thomas.
The point guard?
Uh-huh.
What is he going to do?
Running back. You know, hide behind there. You know, sometimes I watch the Cowboys and they throw Deuce Vaughn in there, and I think it's Isaiah Thomas, you know?
No.
Only difference is Isaiah Thomas begs to be on teams, and I guess Deuce Vaughn gets drafted to the Cowboys because his father works for them. Kind of similar.
Nice little shot.
Thank you.
Poor Deuce.
I chose violence this morning, John. I'm just mad at the
world. It's all right, man. It's a Thursday, man. And by the way, speaking of a Thursday, this Saturday, it's only a couple days away. That's Kubota's Orange Day sales. It is huge. And if you don't know what Kubota is, please. They only have the best tractors, mowers, excavators.
There you go. Well, what other one do we like?
Backhoes.
There you go.
And backhoes. They have everything. And again, out at First Choice Farms, it's Kubota Day. 0% financing on all Kubota equipment. They're at 12701 Highway 64. Out in Highway 64, I'll be out there 11 to 1. We're going to have all kinds of good things for you. We're going to have, like, movie tickets and golf course passes at Wedgewood and food and all that good stuff. But the most important thing is it's 0% financing on all Kubota equipment. Not only are they doing that, but your mowers. Let's just say you lived in Germantown. I'm kind of use this like you lived on a half-acre lot. Now you moved out to somewhere where you got 5 acres. Your little push mower ain't going to work. So not only is it 0% financing on all Kubota equipment this Saturday only, but their mowers – their best-selling mowers, their best-selling mower across the country, the best-selling Kubota mower, the one that you sit and ride and all that stuff, and it's like NASCAR for grass cutting. $400 off Saturday only. Their F-Series, $250. Their RTV Series, $250. Their BX Series, $350 off. Their LX Series, $350 off. Their L Series, $400. Their Grand L, $500. And the MX is $600 off. Nope, sorry, $500 off. Don't want to say it wrong and then get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you right now, you head out tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, Saturday. Saturday only. Damn, I wish it was Friday.
Me too.
I love me some Fridays. You go out there and see my people. I got a couple friends out there. You go see Emily. She'll get you financing. You go talk to Jay. He's in sales. They're going to take care of you. Again, 0% financing and also deals on all their mowers. Head out to Highway 64. They are at 12701 Highway 64, and it's First Choice Farms and Lawn. Don't touch the dial. Isaac Simpson, we talking NBA and some Tigers on the other side. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Family Leisure Studio. We are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Thirsty Thursday. You know, it's always brought to you by the best. Of course, that's Tito's Handmade Vodka, crafted and still in the United States down in Austin, Texas, baby. Good old U.S. of A vodka. It's gluten-free, 100% made of corn, 6 times distilled, then stilled in classic copper pots. The old school method. That's why it's got that unique flavor, slightly sweet with that black pepper note. It balances everything out. You can be crafting a cocktail or drinking it neat. Whatever you're doing, get your Tito's on today. It's time to talk to my good buddy Isaac Simpson. You know Isaac. He joins me every single Thursday. Grizzlies, Tigers, Ethos Grizzlies, Tiger Sports Report. And he's also all over the Twitter at Isaac_NBA. Isaac, what's up on this Thirsty Thursday?
Man, I'm doing well, John. I can't complain at all. How you doing?
Man, I'm happy. I'm blessed. The weather is beautiful. The storms have moved out. I might actually sleep tonight because my little dog during the storm screamed and yelled all night. So if I fall asleep.
That was crazy.
That was wild.
Crazy last night. Hailing and all kind of stuff, man. That was wild.
Yeah, it was a little bit loud up in my crib, man. It was loud, and it wasn't the good kind of loud. It was dang-gum. Dogs barking and the threat of like a tree falling on the house. But man, the basketball last night. I honestly have to ask you your opinion, because I feel like watching the East play basketball is like watching the JV compared to the varsity. I just feel like there's two different levels of play to this. Now, I'm excluding the Boston Celtics, who will be the poor team that comes out of the East. But like right now, the Pacers and the Knicks, as impressive as Jalen Brunson has been, as impressive as the whole Nova, the boys have been. I mean, what Josh Hart's doing is like, that dude just shows you that he just wants to win. My man's running a marathon every single night. He's the most active guy out there. He's 6'4" and he's getting more rebounds than anybody. I mean, he's impressive. DiVincenzo, like Dante DiVincenzo, yeah. I can promise you this, and I do know that you a long time ago, and I thought you were crazy. You said the Grizzlies needed to go out and get Dante DiVincenzo. You were right. Like these three guys are awesome and a fun story, but neither one of these teams would stand a chance against the Celtics or anybody in the West. Am I crazy?
I actually love watching this Knicks team play. And I think one thing that they're gonna come out of this Indiana series. I think I picked Knicks in five, and I still feel pretty good about that. The thing about it is,
I wish I had you on yesterday.
He's running these guys in the ground. You lose Mitchell Robinson for the season. You got OG Anunoby, who's banged up, and
he's likely not to play
right now. Yeah, you got Bronson's banged up, and even Josh Hart, you can see him holding his hip at times. I mean, I think they're going to be really banged up going to that Boston series. I think if they were completely healthy and rested, I really do think they could give Boston a run. I think because I don't trust Boston. I feel like the Knicks play harder than them. The Boston just kind of coast in series, like the series against that they were playing earlier with Miami. They lost that game.
Yeah, when at their house. They were 14.5-point favorite, lost.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that you get with the Celtics. I don't trust them. I really do feel like, because the Knicks just go out and play with so much passion. I mean, they punk teams. I mean, that's kind of what they did in late in the fourth quarter against Indiana, and that's what you've seen in this series. And I just feel like they're the tougher team, but I just feel like going into that series, they're going to be banged up. It's going to be tired, so I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done. But I enjoy watching them play. I mean, they play hard, kind of remind you on both ends of the floor of some of the things that the Grizzlies used to do defensively during the grit and grind area.
Do they remind me, honestly, of the bad boy Pistons in the way that you got a small guard out there doing his things. Now, they don't have the big guys down low banging, but what you do have is an underside Josh Hart who's playing like he's 6'9", the way he's grabbing rebounds. And then you got Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, I enjoy watching these Knicks. They just want it more than the Pacers. It's more of a I'm more just basically casting dispersions on the level of play, especially from like the Indiana Pacers, the Miami Heats. And then I look over at what Minnesota's doing, Oklahoma City's doing. I look at, you know, what Dallas did in their last series against to the Clippers. And, of course, you know, the Nuggets, they look like they're getting waxed, but they do have the three-time, you know, MVP up in the house in Jokic, and they are the reigning champs. I just feel like the West is playing at a different level of basketball.
Oh yeah, whoever wins this, in my opinion, whoever wins this Minnesota Denver series, whether Denver comes back and makes it a series, whoever wins that series, I think is going to win the championship. It is wild because watching the Minnesota Timberwolves throughout the season, I did not see this coming. I knew they were a really good team, but I never did I think, okay, Minnesota's probably going to win the title this year, and I really feel like that's a strong possibility at this point, and I never thought I'd be saying that.
Man, what Minnesota is they've got athletic wings all over the damn place. Then you have 2 7-footers, and they didn't even need one the other night against the Nuggets. You got Mike Conley, a coach on the court. And then you literally have what is called a superstar in Anthony Edwards. Like, Naz Reid, by the way, is turning
into a freak, man. Yeah, I was going to say, Naz Reid coming in.
Dude, how did Naz Reid go from an undrafted to a superstar?
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. I mean,
did he play? Did he play at LSU?
He went to LSU.
Like, he wasn't, like, when I remember when he was in the SEC, and he wasn't anything special at all, and now that dude is cold-blooded. He will hit a three in your face. He will board you. He will block you. I love him.
Yeah, I mean, they just have so many guys on their team. I mean, defensively, Like you said, you got Mike Conley, who just ultimate professional, just goes out and plays ball. It just feels like he never misses a shot. When he takes a shot, it feels like in these playoffs, it goes in almost every shot he takes. You got Nikhil Alexander Walker, who plays defense, man, and is just
in your
on.
Shorts, man. He's in your shorts, yeah. That dude. So he's filthy.
Yeah, and you just got Ant that's just on a different level right now. Like, I mean, he's taking his game up two or three notches, and I mean, he looks like the best player in the league. Like, he's scary. I've never seen a guy get so many unabated trips to the basket. I mean, he just goes right past guys, and he's wide open layup, wide open dunks, and nobody's touching him. Like, you just don't see that, and he does that consistently. I don't know who can guard him. Like, I haven't in these playoffs, man, he just seems unguardable. That team is, man, you got Kyle Anderson out there. I mean, they just can run all these guys at you defensively. You got Cat and got Gobert going to be back after him having a kid, having his wife's baby. So he missed that game, but he's going to be back. So now you got Naz Reid coming out of the bench. It's just, they just come at you in ways, man, and it's just, they got Denver. I've never seen anybody make Denver look like this. I said Denver in six to start this series off, man, but I don't see that happening. Like, I think they're toast. Like, I don't know. Lose the first two games at home. I don't think they'll sweep them. I think Denver will find a way to win one of these games in Minnesota, but I can't see them beating this team four times. I mean, they just made them look silly in that game the other night. Just handcuffs, man, on them. They couldn't do anything. Only scored 80 points. I don't know, man. It's just, this team is just on a different level, and I can't see anybody beating this team four times. I don't think Dallas can do it, and I can't see Boston doing it either.
Man, yeah, I can't either. But one thing, though, I want to ask you, Oklahoma City, you know, we are just oohing and aahing over what we're seeing from Minnesota, and rightfully so. I mean, they held the dead gum Timberwolves to 80 points the Timberwolves held the Nuggets to 80 points at their house, 35 points in the first half. I mean, it was just a beat down of epic proportion. Beat down. And I look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, though. They've won 9 straight going back to the regular season. They're 5-0 in the playoffs. And they worked Dallas. And they don't just have one dude. They have a bunch of young dudes. And they played a very, very high – like, they're getting up and down the court. They got length. I like them as well. Do you feel that Oklahoma City in Minnesota – I mean, would you – I think that would be an amazing Western Conference Finals. I don't know who would win it.
Hey, I would take Minnesota. I just think the physicality – that they play with. I find it hard to see anybody beating this team four times. I mean, what we saw in those first two games against Denver is just, like I said, something I didn't expect. I mean, they opened my eyes. Like, I feel a completely different about the West. Even looking in from the Grizzlies' perspective, I feel a little bit different about the West now, because it felt like you were just chasing Denver, and now it feels like Minnesota is past them. You also got OKC, like you talk about, in the mix, and with their assets, they're sooner rather than later, there's a big move coming from them, and they're already the one seed, young, and already the one seed now. So what's going to happen if they add another all-star level player to that team? I mean, the West is going to be tough, man. The Grizzlies are going to have to come with it, man, and do something to improve their basketball team, because these teams aren't waiting. I mean, they've really improved around them. And you talk about OKC. I picked OKC in 7 against Dallas. I mean, Dallas is a weird team. I mean, because they'll have bad games, then they'll come back and play really well. Like, they're very inconsistent with what you see from Dallas. So I think they're going to make it a series. It's going to be interesting tonight how this goes. I've said this a lot, and when I look at Dallas and Luka, you look at his numbers throughout the playoffs, and I tweeted this the other night. He's 17 of 75 from 3 in the playoffs for like 22%. I mean, he's been terribly inefficient. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can win a title with Luka as your best player. Like, a lot of Luka fans, Dallas fans, get mad when I say that, but I just think the ball dominance, the ISO basketball, there's only so much of that you can get away with, especially in the playoffs and high level games. You got to get other guys involved, and his assist numbers look good, but his shooting numbers have been bad. I mean, he's been even when he has big games, I don't feel like it impacts winning the way it should. He'll have 40 points and have a triple-double and they'll win a game by one or lose. I just don't feel like it has the impact that it should. So I think OKC wins this series. I think it's going to be a longer series. I think it'll be six or seven games. And then I think we're going to get that Minnesota-OKC series. And that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you got the different styles. I mean, you got the young team in OKC, and you got this team that's a mix of young guys and veterans with Minnesota and the physicality that they're bringing. I think that's going to be a fun Western Conference Finals series. I don't think there's any question. I think that's exactly what we're going to get.
Both teams, you know, Minnesota and Oklahoma City, both teams play really damn good defense. How is it the Pacers don't realize that there's two sides to the ball? Because they don't play any defense.
No, and Tibbs left Andrew Nembhard on the island out there with Jalen Brunson late in that fourth quarter. I mean, he was just killing them, and I don't know why he didn't go back to
Rick Carlisle's an idiot for not going to TJ McConnell. I mean, you get back in the game, you're down 10, you come back, you get within two, you take out TJ McConnell, and then Nembhard comes back in, and then next thing you know, you turn around, you're down 8.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all, and he just left him out there on the island, man. I'm like, because TJ McConnell's about it. Like, he was, he is a tremendous player, man. I love him. I love his game. Has a little fire to him, and he can play that better defense on Brunson than Andrew Nembhard. I mean, you just couldn't. I don't know why you let him continue to go one on one in that game, and that kind of pretty much lost the game for him. Late in the fourth quarter. So I think that was a terrible mistake by Rick Carlisle by leaving Andrew Nembhard out there on Brunson. But I mean, all these series are going to be interesting, man. It's switching back to Indiana. They asked Jalen Brunson after the game, was he going to be able to go for game 3? And he didn't sound super confident. I kind of think if I'm Thibodeau.
Sit him.
Depending on how.
Brunson sit. Game.
Yeah, I think I sit some of those guys. I feel confident enough in that they can still win the series if they give up a game. Like, I don't feel like them losing one game. Because you're not going to win both in Indiana. I never expected them to win both. I thought they'd probably split. So if those guys are still banged up, man, I don't think I would force it, because he's already a guy that plays guys 40 plus minutes. I mean, these guys are playing.
Josh Hart's averaging, I think it's 40, yeah, like 1 minute or
40. Yeah, 41
like,
or 42 minutes, yeah.
He's averaging 48 minutes.
Oh, like 40, 48.
He's been in every regular season game. I mean, he's played every minute of every, you know, minute of regulation and overtime. So he's like averaging over 48 minutes in the postseason, which is insane.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. This is just the second round. I mean, these guys, you're probably going to have another series against Boston that you have to go into, and that's what I was kind of talking about at the top, man. You got guys banged up, running these guys into the ground. They might not have any gas left by the time they get out of this Indiana series. So I think I would kind of go light in this one. I don't think if Brunson is kind of any kind of way still banged up, I don't think I would probably sit him in this game 3.
Man, we got so much to get to. We're going to take a quick break. You cool with that?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Because I got to ask you, man, Tyrese Haliburton, is he a superstar or not? Plus, we got to talk about the Memphis Tigers and the little football team. So don't you dare touch the dial. Sports 56 with Isaac on the other side, 98.5 FM.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM. And 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Ben. Blah, 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 blah. There goes my mouth again. I'm loving those dead. You know
what? What were you trying to say? I'm your buddy, man? Was that what was trying to come out?
No, I have no idea what was coming out. I was really excited about your story during the break, and I have not been able.
One that we cannot share on the
air. I think the bees came from which maybe, like, popped on my screen.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who knows? I've lost my mind. But you know what? It's a thirsty Thursday. Everybody loves little Tito's. Maybe I had a little bit during the break. Who knows? But now it's time to bring back my good buddy Isaac Simpson. Isaac, what's up, homie?
Hey, what up?
Man, I'm ready to talk about Tyrese Halliburton because I was so agitated hearing about how he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's past Jai. He's better than Jai. He's this. He's that. My man in the third quarter when everything went south last night took one shot. One shot when his team is just floundering in the third. They had a 10-point lead when they started the third quarter. They were down 8 when they went into the fourth quarter. It's like, that's embarrassingly bad. They got outscored by 18, and he shrunk. And game one, let's not forget, first half he had 6 points. Like, this dude, he does a disappearing act one quarter a game, and it seems like it's always that crucial part of the game where the Pacers need him to get a damn bucket.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very good player, but he's nowhere near the level of Ja. Like, people were crazy saying that, man. It's like I said, he's a guy, man. He gets a lot of assists, but I think he's probably more of a 1B on like a really high level team. Like he's not your franchise guy. He's the type of guy that needs somebody else to kind of be that guy, and he can be that kind of secondary guy. I think he's more of a Robin than he is a Batman. And Ja is definitely a Batman, so I don't think there's any question about that. He's not on the same tier. And like you said, man, you can't rely on him in big moments. He's not a guy that you can say, okay, we're down. He's going to be the guy that pulls us out of this. That's not his game. He's too passive. He's just not a guy that's that aggressive. I mean, there are times where he gets hot and in games. You see a lot in the regular season, but we haven't really seen that in the postseason from him. And he shrunk, like you said, when they need him the most. In these big moments, he hasn't been the guy that's come up for them.
Dude's known. Like, dude has one of, like, the greatest titles in the world. I don't know if you heard about the offseason. Like, people say that they're, like, you know, he's a very lucky man, let's say. But he suffers from shrinkage when it comes to the basketball court. I'll tell you that much. Now, I got to know. Right now, we have Sunday. It's quickly approaching. Everybody knows that's the ping pong day. NBA draft lottery balls are going to be bouncing. The Grizzlies have a 7.5% chance to get a top 4 pick. I'm just kind of curious when I look around the league at some of the bigs that'll be available. I look at the draft and the bigs available. And I see that the one glaring weakness the Grizzlies have is, well, they don't have a big. What are you thinking about this Sunday? What are you looking at? Like, when you look at Isaiah Hartenstein, I mean, this guy's now going to compete, you know, probably after this.
He's going to get
16, 17, 18 million dollars now? A year?
Yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if he got 20. He's about to get paid. There's no question. A lot of Grizzlies fans have kind of been eyeing him, and I've been telling them that's probably not going to happen. Number one, he loves New York. I think they love him. I don't see him going anywhere. I think they're going to pay him, but they're about to pay him big. I mean, they're about to bag the Brinks truck up. He's going to get paid, and this playoff run has made it even higher. I mean, he's earned himself even more money in these playoffs. So I don't think that's going to be an option for the Grizzlies this offseason. They don't have the money to afford him, even if he was going to leave New York. They can't afford it. It would have to be a sign and trade, and those are unlikely. I mean, it's too many parties have to agree. I don't ever even talk about sign and trade because it's so hard to pull off because you got the player has to want to go to that team. They have to accept the money. The team that you're trading from has to accept whatever you're giving them. It's just too hard to work out, so I don't even talk about those. But I think Howard is going to get his money, and I think it's going to be with the New York Knicks. But as far as the draft, I think Donovan Clingan, man, from UConn, 7'2".
How high do they need to be in the draft to get him? Like, where do the balls need to bounce for them? Like, where do they need to land to get Clingan, you think?
I mean, this draft is weird because it's completely different than most drafts because there's not really a consensus because all of these guys are kind of – nobody's really hugely separated from anybody else. I mean, the number one pick is expected to be Prince kid, power forward center, Alexander Starr. He's expected to go number one. But after that, I mean, it's kind of all over the place. I mean, you see some mock drafts would have if the Grizzlies stay at 7 or 8 that they could get him there. You see him up at 4 in some drafts, 4 or 5. I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see if he's there. But I think that has to be their number one target. If he's not there, for me, at that point, I'm probably looking to move the pick. Hopefully, you can move down and maybe pick up a veteran center in a deal and move down later in the draft and still get a guy there. Or maybe you trade out completely and you use that pick and add it with players and get a vet center that way. But they got to find a way to get a big. I think that pick has to be used as a vehicle to find a way to address the front court, because that's the glaring weakness, because they don't have a true center on the roster right now. But I actually think they probably need to go get 2 bigs, probably a center and a power forward, or either 2 guys that could kind of be interchangeable, maybe 1 big center and 1 power forward center combo, because they got to address their front court, because I'm not a fan of Jaren starting at the 5 at all. That I'm not a fan of that. I still think there's a possibility.
We've seen it too much. Happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a feeling that still might happen. Even if they draft Klingon, I think they might bring him off the bench, because if you listen to Zach Kleiman, I kind of think that's what Zach Kleiman wants, is Jared to start at 5. He even went so far as to say in the end of season press conference that he feels like they're at their best when Jared's at the 5, because they want to run this modernized offense where you have these guys interchangeable, you get up and down the court, but Jared just doesn't rebound enough for you to have him at the 5. If he rebounded, I think it would be okay, but that's the big issue with him, man. He's only giving you 4 or 5 rebounds a game. And then you don't have anybody even next to him at the power forward position that's a big-time rebounder either. That's just not going to work. I mean, you're going to get killed on the board. So they got to have bring somebody in here with some size, I think, to play next to him. And I'm a big fan of Klingon, man. I think he's a guy. I know a lot of people talk about Zach Edey. I'm not a big fan of his NBA prospect. And we'll see how that works out. I don't think he's going to be able to stay on the floor enough to have the type of impact that the people that like him think he's going to have. I just think he's going to get played off the floor in the pick and roll. They're going to kill him on switches. I just don't think you're going to be able to keep him on the floor. I think he's going to end up being a guy that's super specialized. Like, there's certain situations you can put him in the game, but I don't think he's going to be a guy that you could run out there regularly. Like, you're going to start him at center. I can't see that with Edey.
Isaac, man, tell me what you're working on, what you got coming down the pipe, and where people can find you.
Yeah, man, just go over to Ethos Grizzlies. Check me out there, TigerSportsReport.com, and on my personal Twitter feed at Isaac_NBA.
Man, be blessed, homie. Have a great weekend.
Will do, man. Talk to you next week.
That is Isaac Simpson at Isaac_NBA. We got Evie Van Pelt on the other side. We're talking Ole Miss Rebels on Sports 56, 98.5 FM. There's someone in my head, but it's not me.